Prajzani Prajapati Prabhu. Prajapati, would you like to sit up in a raised seat?
I did lower seat, probably.
That's what I would like. In fact, I'm probably going to land up there. Last time I sat down, and I'm ready to, I think, sit down again. Very hard for them to find good chairs.
Oh, or good chairman.
That's more difficult. I can't. That's my problem. The chairs are their problem, and the chairman is my problem. Well, does anyone have any current events topic of note?
We had a great John Osteen festival.
Oh, that was certainly true. But since none of the, except Rasi Kendra, the only organizer, great credit goes to Rasi Kendra and to Narottam and especially to Ishan for his cultivating all of these people. I actually wanted Ishan to be here because I wanted to express my appreciation for all of the preaching he's done. And to Rasi Kendra also. I think this was by far the most successful festival I've ever seen in Dallas of any type. In 20 years, I have never seen such a good festival. Both days were really wonderful. So many people and so much Lakshmi was collected. But I think that, you know, the temple atmosphere was very, very beautiful Monday evening. That was really special. Bhakti Chirumaraj's tape playing, swinging. You can make it cool in here, please.
It's going on full blast.
What's the temperature set at?
Set down to 70.
Huh?
I put it down to 70.
When did you turn it down to 70?
Well, it was all day long in 78, and in the past 2 hours I put it down, past hour and a half, I put it down to 70.
I don't believe that's a lot.
Now it's at 78.
If you have it at 70, why is it only 78?
Well, it's...
What's the temperature at?
78.
You put it at 70.
Yeah, they put the setting at 70, but the temperature is 78.
Why is that?
Well, it takes some time to...
Doesn't sound like a big enough unit. A really good unit should... Yeah.
We were thinking of having a similar festival for Diwali and Govardhan Puja here.
Diwali and Govardhan Puja.
Govardhan Puja falls on a Friday, so we can go to Houston and Saturday we can come back and set up a thing on Sunday.
When are they observing it in Houston?
I spoke to Kuvera Prabhu, he said most probably it will be on Friday because next day is a holiday. And only in the evening they're going to celebrate Govardhan Puja. So it might also work out well for us. And celebrate the congregation on Sunday.
Yeah, they won't celebrate it on... They might celebrate it Saturday. I suspect... Well, I suspect they will. That's when they like to celebrate.
Saturday.
But let's see. But either case, it won't interfere, right?
It can be Saturday late night.
Either way it'll work out. That's good. Yeah, it was a wonderful festival, and the mood was just so beautiful. I was thinking that it would be, that you should play it. Well, I was thinking of a number of things. One thing is I think people really like swinging Baby Gopal. So I was wondering if we can have that set up on the, do you think people would like to do that in the evenings?
On a regular basis?
Yeah, or not so much.
Then
it loses
its novelty.
Okay. That's true. But at least what you could do is play Bhakti Chirumaraj's tape in the evening after the Tulsi Puja. What do you normally do?
Normally put some Vrindavan tapes.
And when do the curtains close for dressing these?
After the evening arti.
Oh, they do. Yeah, and then it doesn't matter. It's okay.
But for Sunday, normally it goes on to about 7:15. Normally Ishan keeps it longer.
Anyway, it was a very nice program.
By your mercy, sir.
Not my mercy. I did nothing.
Everybody worked very hard.
Yeah, everybody worked very hard.
Everybody worked very hard. Mother Gopali made so many nice outfits. Devaprastha, even though he was sick, he was cooking. Everybody was very, very...
The outfit was really nice. I thought that flower outfit was very beautiful.
Mother Piralita.
Very good. And the, which outfit was it? There was one more I thought was spectacular, but I don't...
I thought the night outfit.
The midnight outfit.
Oh, chiffon.
I think that was the one I liked also.
The backdrop was by Uddhava. Uddhava painted the whole...
Our Uddhava from here?
Yeah.
That was a very good backdrop. That's also what contributed to the charm of the set of that Monday program. It was just like... I mean, it was just... It captivated everybody, you know? That backdrop was very good. Maybe he can make some more backdrops.
Yes,
he's a good artist. And he likes to do that, probably.
Yeah.
What other scene can we have?
Full moon.
Yeah, that'd be nice. A full moon. What else?
Yeah,
but be hard to do that effectively. I guess you could. You gotta be very good to do that. It's harder to do people. Well, but that scene was very beautiful. Prajapati, how is your work on the rewriting going?
I haven't really made much progress since I gave it to...
I didn't tell you, but actually when we had lunch together, but many people were asking me for the second volume.
Oh, great. That's good.
Well, Mahapati Maharaj, of course, expressed his doubt or reservation because of the... He feels it's too similar to what we do. It's practically like a blueprint of... He's a little skeptical. I don't know about that. Do you have any deadlines on it?
I gave the disc that I had done that much to Carl.
And you haven't heard?
I haven't heard that. And I've been mainly, since getting back to Dallas, preparing for the semester and all.
Of course, yeah. Well, maybe we can hear from our Bhakta and Bhakti. Let's hear some questions from them. We will examine their condition and try to help them. Perhaps they have some question about how to advance properly in spiritual life.
You are making a question.
Mm-hmm. I'm asking, I'm offering you the chance to make a question.
I was chatting my rounds, 16 rounds, since 1 year ago, and I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and I have too many questions. Maybe in the time, I will ask you.
Well, why don't we start with one question?
Hare Krishna.
Make it an easy one. An easy question.
I was asking to Ravinath how we can get initiation, and he told me about we have to to meet one year chanting Hare Krishna and have a relationship with this guru, the spiritual master, and I want to begin to writing, keep in touch with Rajanuj Dandarasa Swami and Hare Krishna.
You can write him in Los Angeles. And he may be able to write you back in Spanish also.
Okay. And I was hearing his tapes, and everyone in my town.
Where is that?
In Monterrey, in the north of Mexico. We have the Saturdays, we make some prashada, and we hear tapes from Ian and Andalasa, and everyone was very...
happy.
Yes. Yeah, because he speaks Spanish very well and speaks the Vedas excellent.
Does he have a good Mexican Spanish accent?
No, not exactly Mexican accent, but very excellent Spanish. Excellent, very understandable. Understand it.
He speaks many languages. Portuguese, Spanish, German, French.
I heard nine. So
nine languages?
Yes, he speaks languages.
Sanskrit.
Does he speak
Hindi? No, I don't speak Hindi or Bengali.
Italian.
Italian.
Hebrew.
He's learning a little Hebrew. And he's learning some Greek. And now he's learning Hittite. Ancient Hittite. I don't know who he'll speak to. He'll have to unearth some, you know, mummies or something. She may have a question. What's a current event issue that is concerning everyone these days? Has anyone heard the news? I haven't.
The Eastern news or the world news?
No, the world news is something we can say something. Jennifer.
I don't know if you consider this an event in terms of the news today, but a lot of devotees are talking about a war that's supposed to come in the near future, and some leaders are supposedly preparing by, you know, getting lands in the country and growing food.
Really? Which leader has done that, that you know of?
Well, I've just heard.
No, but which leader do you know that has purchased land recently?
Well, this is just hearsay. I'm not saying I've personally heard from their mouths, but I've heard that different leaders have.
But which one, particularly?
A few. I've heard Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Really? Where did he buy land?
Somewhere in Germany.
No, he didn't buy land in Germany. He bought a meeting place. It's just a meeting place for holding conferences.
Underground bomb shelters, I
heard. Huh?
I heard of underground bomb shelters.
No, it doesn't have any bomb shelters.
Probably about a meeting place.
Huh? Because they have need for a lot of conferences. They hold conferences and devotee conferences. I was there. I just went there. And it's right on a main road.
So it's not an underground thing as far as...
No, it's three or four buildings on a very small piece of property, about 2 acres or 3 acres. And it's it was formerly some Christian not monastery, but Christian conference place. It's got one building with about wooden building with about 30 rooms, and another building with maybe 8 residential rooms and some meeting room. It doesn't look like the kind of place you would want for a war, because it's run on a main road, and there's no land. But there might be some other place that you know.
Yeah, some of his disciples told me when I was in Verdun that I think it was in Germany, where they in some very remote town.
Yeah, that's the place. But it's, I don't think he bought it for a war, he bought it for preaching.
Another person is Dasarath in Arizona.
Dasarath in Arizona? What did he do?
He's looking for land that would be safe. In the case of the war.
He says he has a lot of friends that work for the government, and there is these rumors that it's really coming.
Okay. Anybody else?
Well, I just say what I heard. I'm not saying it's true.
Well, that's why we're trying to examine whether it is true. So far, the one about Hari Keshmarsh didn't prove to be true. Dasarath is apparently looking for land. Now let's hear about other leaders.
Well, then I heard from a disciple of Shivaram Swami. That he, he has land like somewhere in Eastern Europe that there's a pond there, or a lake, some body of water, and that they bought fish, and they put fish in the body of water just for emergency sake.
Emergency sake for what?
Well, in case there's a food shortage. You know, because if there's a war and there's no more oil, and then you can't transport food, and there's to be a food shortage.
Do you think that sounds very believable?
No.
Knowing what you do of Shivaram Maharaj, do you think that he would stock a lake with fish in order to be able to get fish to eat?
I don't. That's why I'm asking.
Well, I don't even know if you need to ask. I'm asking, re-asking, so that you will be able to come to your own conclusions. I don't even think I need to answer that one. You should be able to answer that.
Also,
but maybe there's some other persons.
Keshav Maharaj and Jayadvash Maharaj, they were passing through on their way to the Labor Theatre, and Jayadvash, their stewards say they were coming from Alachua, and Jayadvash lives there. And they said in Alachua they're already storing food.
Oh, that's a very safe place, Alachua.
Well,
how far away is that
NASA
launch pad?
Cape
Canaveral is how far from NASA? 70
miles. Not too far.
It's definitely not too far, because I saw when I was in Alachua once a rocket taking off.
Yeah.
And how far is Disney World from there?
It's about 2 hours.
So, I mean, if there was a war, what type of war would it be?
Supposed to nuclear war?
Yeah, I mean, why not? Or even if it was conventional weapons, where are they going to certainly hit Cape Canaveral? I mean, you wouldn't want to be in Alachua if there was a war.
Because that's like what Kishamash was saying, you know, because he was teasing Jayadvash, how they were going to all blow out with their food storage, with their food cans or something. But the things that they're storing, and he asked what is Nalini Kanto saying, and he's saying, yes, something is really coming, at least for 1999. By the end of 98, it's starting.
April
98.
Nalini
also heard also, in Denver also, what is it?
April of 98, for 2 years, Saturn will be in Aries, a debilitated sign. So every 30 years when that happens, there's some kind of...
Yeah, they said in September 98, the constellation is going to be like during the Battle of Kurukshetra. So all these things are, you know...
And then, like, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, she's been talking about it for a long time, and apparently at the New York Ratha Yatra, he was, you know, preaching to the devotees about it, and he closed his center in D.C. and he's moving his disciples to the Yanagri.
But there's another reason why he did that.
Well,
It was insolvent.
It was what?
It was insolvent. It was, he had, he's taken up the Gita Nagari project and he has very few people. And the main reason is not because he anticipates a war in which Washington, D.C. will be blown to pieces with Maryland, but because he hasn't got enough people to manage the Gita Nagari project.
Well, I'm just saying this is what, like, this is what Keshe Maharaj was telling us, that, you know, he was preaching about it at the Rathiatra, and, you know, it's just, wherever I go, devotees are talking about it.
I haven't heard anyone talk about it around here.
Well, I don't know.
Huh?
Jai Joyce Maharaj wrote a really nice commentary this month.
What did he say?
Yeah.
So just go on chanting Hare Krishna.
And he said that many famous astrologers, like in Jaipur and other places, are talking about this war. So he said that, yeah, that we should not focus on spiritual life, because if it comes, we should make sure we're chanting.
Your daughter was saying your name.
She's calling me.
In fact, she's coming down the stairs. She woke up.
No, she was going to sleep.
I was watching a tape of Srila Prabhupada, disciples with it.
Hi, Bal Shamali.
Yeah. I was watching a tape of Prabhupada disciples recalling some events like this when they asked Prabhupada what some asteroid or some meteorite. To some comet. So we asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, this all will be there, but with Krishna's shelter, these things can be prevented. And he said, our philosophy should be like King Kulashekara Alvar, who said, whatever comes, you shall take it as the mercy of Krishna. But if you know for sure it's coming, like if it's going to rain, you know, so you walk out with an umbrella. So that was what Prabhupada said. So how are we to interpret that in this context, was wondering.
But how do we know it's going to come?
That is the,
on that same morning walk, Prabhupada saw, we were talking about that comet Kohatek, and it never showed up. But we did have a comet that did show up. Mm-hmm. The problem's comet was that comets were very inauspicious, very bad omens.
So, what happened? This comet didn't come?
The comet that they were talking about back then never really showed up. No one could see that Kohatek comet. But this comet that we had recently, everyone saw. You didn't see?
Oh. They've been talking about wars for years. And there's been Desert Storm and Bosnia and all this. And we're sitting here, you know, not really affected by it, but... You know, I mean, I was, like, terrified 20 years ago about, wars when they talked about it. So, I mean, eventually, I guess maybe it's going to happen. So all we can do is just be prepared. Prepare to die. We have to.
Tomorrow, 10 years from now.
It has. They've been talking about wars as long as I can remember.
Well, as far as a war goes... If someone like, if the ISKCON leaders were so certain that there was going to be a major disaster, then why is it that they're planning to start the construction of the Mayapur temple in the year 2001? I mean, if there was a major world war, you wouldn't be able to travel. So why are they planning like that? Why are they doing anything for that matter? Why did they just go to an education conference in which we planned out ISKCON's educational system for the next, 20 years? It seems like we wasted so much money and time if actually the ISKCON leaders think that there's going to be a big war. Yeah, but in other words, these kind of wars, the effects last forever.
Yeah, almost forever.
I mean, if there was a major war with nuclear weapons, it might as well be in your life forever. Things aren't going to be put back together again if that were the case. Not in the same way.
years ago in Srila Prabhupada would talk about impending war, he'd all say that afterwards preaching would be much better and people would be a lot more receptive to Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. But at the same time, he never made any adjustment on his preaching mission. Nothing. He didn't. He never took any interest in stocking food and building shelters and telling us to buy land in strategic locations.
It seems that he also commented that if we were very dedicated to distributing a lot of his books, that
we could avert war. War could be averted then.
Right.
I mean, that factor cannot be dismissed. That despite all kinds of... In other words, what the astrological forecasts don't take into account the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement. They merely tell us what will happen under ordinary circumstances, or what might be expected under ordinary circumstances. But with the factor of the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement, so much changes. For example, Prabhupada said that you know, when you simply clap your hands in a kirtan, it changes the lines, so to speak, on your palms in terms of telling what the future holds. In other words, as you perform devotional service, everything changes. So Lord Chaitanya may have a tremendous investment which he wishes to protect in terms of the future of this movement, and he may not want there to be a war because he may feel that it would hinder too much the spreading of Krishna consciousness or the welfare of the people on this planet. So those things can't exactly be calculated. I have seen no indication in Prabhupada's teachings that we should adjust our mission for the planning of a war. And therefore I can't understand what the advantage you're talking about is, unless you're doing it just to get people more excited. But as far as I see, in terms of a preaching strategy, it stinks. The only people it could be possibly good for are members of a cult. As far as the public goes, as soon as they hear that the cult is talking about war, they immediately brand you a cult. Doomsday cult. We become another doomsday cult. And those who are, you know, the cult leaders talk about these things. So if someone wants to be branded as a cult leader, he should keep talking about the war. It shows me that they don't have a very clear sense of the perception that the public has of groups that do this. Because that's exactly what doomsday cults do. That's why they suicide. They say, now we're going to take, you know, we'll take this pill or whatever, and we will transfer ourselves back to the planet, you know, to that spaceship, or they all have so many different ways of getting out of the war. It doesn't seem to me a very positive platform for preaching. And I really question whether I think that whatever we preach inside should be the same as what we preach outside. And if I think it's a great mistake, if you think that this is what you want to preach outside, well, I just can't see that as a good strategy. And if you think, well, no, we won't tell others about it, but this is what we better tell our own members, I think that's even worse, because I think that that type of duality really creates a lot of confusion in the minds of people inside the movement and outside the movement.
It affects the integrity of the person's character itself, and by their weakening themselves by that kind of preaching, they're...
Unless they get strength. Some people feel that they get strength from that kind of preaching. It empowers certain people, that type of preaching. I don't personally see... You know, if you look at all of the programs that we have in Krishna consciousness, in the Sankirtan movement, most of them would be ruled out. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. If you're so convinced that there's going to be a war, why pursue education? Why pursue, and I mean the whole Gurukul system of education, why should we improve it? why build the Mayapur temple? Why do practically any of the things that we are planning to do?
There is one other perspective. Mother Lama was just saying that these wars that have occurred in various locations, but we were here and weren't affected that much. Similarly, worldwide there's been wars going on for eons, and still we are here. So there will always be someone to survive. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started this movement 10,500 years ago, and we have 10,000 years to go.
Yeah, but you see, there's a difference, because if a war comes into America, it means it will be all over the world. Because America has the power, you know, to respond if anyone attacks. Iraq doesn't have that power. They didn't have the capability that America does. So if actually America was attacked, then they will immediately respond. So that will escalate into a world war.
Still, there should be survivors.
There may be, but I'm still saying that the entire planning of our Krishna consciousness movement would have to be scrapped. And I don't see that that's... As far as I know, I wasn't at the last 2 years of GBC meetings, but I didn't hear... I had a representative there who was sending me back daily, twice a day, the minutes of the meetings. There was never any discussion of this. So if actually the leaders, as you said, the leaders of ISKCON are now talking like this, how is it that Prabhupada said that all your plans should be made annually at Mayapur, and nothing should be changed in between? Why didn't they discuss it? It doesn't sound as if it's an official policy of our movement. It doesn't sound as if there's a consensus on the part of the leaders. It sounds as if one or two individuals, you know, are speaking this way. Nobody has talked to me about it. I was with Radhanath Maharaj. They just built a huge hospital in Bombay. You could say, well, that's for the war victims, but I never heard them say that. We're about to complete our temple in Delhi at the expense of $7 million, right in the heart of New Delhi. Why would they do that? Nandini, you're leaving so soon.
I have to go pick up Kate from Bali.
Where are they?
The football station.
Oh, yeah, that. $7 million in the heart of New Delhi. Does that sound like... I mean, I just don't see that there... Bangalore, we just built this magnificent temple. I mean, these cities will go. These temples will go. And no, I haven't heard anybody say anything about a war. It seems to me that this is the kind of conversation that goes on amongst the rank and file, and it appeals to a certain type of person. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but it doesn't inspire me at all to think that way. And I would never speak like this to other people. Because even if it is true, what are we doing to prepare for it then? I mean, if we're so sure that it's... I think you could say that there's always that possibility. I think that's reasonable to say that, and that certainly the nature of what people are doing in the world is creating such bad karma that it could lead to that. But, to take it to the extent of starting to buy land, building shelters underneath the ground, stocking lakes with fish. And that's too far. That's taking it a little far.
In Miami, when we had that acreage, that small farm, 10 acres, they dug out a pond about a quarter acre in size and stocked it with fish that would keep it clean.
Yeah, we do that in India. We always stock, you have to stock a lake with fish, because then otherwise it gets filled up with algae. But it's, and I'm sure that's what Shivaram Maharaj did. I mean, Shivaram Maharaj is very strict about it. You know? He's not going to start offering fish to his deities to eat.
Only Tatray would do that.
Huh?
Only Tatray. Mrs. Bali Mardan.
No, Tatra. I mean, I just don't think that... I was just with Ravindra Sarup Prabhu for 3 days and never mentioned anything. I'm all the time on the internet. There's so much that gets put on the internet. Nobody's ever said anything about a war. I read so many Vyasa Puja offerings. Did anybody write about a war? So who are these devotees that you say so many leaders? So far you haven't mentioned, except for Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who's the only GBC man you mentioned.
First I heard about the Srila Gurudev that was in Jayadwaita Maharaj's commentary on GTG that last year.
What did he say?
He said that 35% of the world's population would be dead by such and such time.
He's quoting
the prediction.
Whose prediction?
So he's saying many astrologers, including one famous one from Jet Core, saying these things, that this war time for them by the year 2000, 30 or 35% of the population will die. So everybody said, Jayadwaita Swami is so conventional and he's not into these kind of things, astrology.
Very conservative.
Yeah, conservative. So if he's mentioning them, if he's considering the possibility, then everybody should also.
Where does he live?
Jayadwaita Swami, in Alaska.
Okay.
So the argument is a little more.
He's actually not.
It's like you're saying. So he heard all these things. So he said, "Well, if there were or not, we should all take shelter of Krishna." It's one paragraph, but it were. No, it's really talking about this because it's true. So it's around the word and around.
Huh?
It's right now we're bringing all these things up, and you're giving us the right way to think about it because it's been around.
I don't think about it. I got too much to think about besides this. I mean, if we're going to think about this, then let's stop what we're doing. We're wasting our time.
I think I felt, after reading that article, I felt his stance, his posture was, let it come, let's go about without Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Of course that is.
Yes.
That's what I felt.
That's where I first heard that.
Maybe some.
But then what's the point of talking about it? The only point of talking about it is if you want to do something about it. He's saying that because other people are talking about it. But my point is that if you're going to talk about it, then put your money where your mouth is. Do something about it. Otherwise, what's the use of talking about it? If that's what you believe, then you should stop doing everything else and prepare for it. If I was personally convinced that there was going to be a war, I guarantee I wouldn't waste my time at going to SMU. I would immediately be buying land. I'd try to calculate someplace, just like we did the last time with Oklahoma. That's why we bought that farm. That was also based on a war scare. I learned my lesson from that. I'm not going to do it again. Lost too much money and energy on that project to want to do it a second time. And if it comes, all right, then we'll see. Chant Hare Krishna. We'll chant Hare Krishna and go up and smoke.
If it comes closer to the temple, Krishna will give us some signs or something, and we could plan something for at least for the children and everyone.
What are you going to do? Put the kids on an airplane?
No, get us land real quick. And
I don't think it works that way. I don't think you can do that. Get land real quick. And
Like in two months before a war blows up,
you would. How
would
you know that
2 months before? I don't know. I would be able to tell, right? How the war.
I don't think you can tell.
No,
it's not a conventional. These things don't go by conventional means anymore.
Yeah.
Anybody's going to attack America, I can't. What are they going to do? Bring their warships nearby or something? They're not going to do that. It's a different time we're living in.
It's all behind a button. Takes about 5 hours for Russia to hit America. 5 hours notice you get.
What are you going to do?
even you go to the country, the spillover will be so great, it's going to obliterate the whole country. And there's going to be chemical war, it's going to cause havoc. There's no way when you go to the country, you're going to get...
How do you calculate what the effect of chanting Hare Krishna is on this planet? How do you calculate the advantages of all the people taking prasadam?
That creates suspiciousness.
Huh?
It's already been delaying whatever was going to happen already for the last 20 years that we've been hearing about this war. Right?
This is another torture act, this chant.
I wanted to bring another one.
Oh, it's horrendous, this chant. It's as bad as all the others.
Would you like another one?
No, I'm just going to sit down. Every time I was in there, down here. Oh, that's much better. Down to size. The greatest occupational hazard to being a guru is a bad back. All these horrible chairs that look like make you look like you're a big king. They make you feel like you're a basket case.
Did that professor, Dr. Benson, ever call it in?
No.
Never did. This is a man wants to have a big thing in February, a big Hindu festival.
No, he didn't call me.
But he and some four of the professors are coming on Monday at noon for a meeting.
Where?
Here.
Sure. With you.
Me and maybe Jagrasa, whoever else.
Four professors? From where?
This is Mountain View Conference.
What about Dharasha? Has he heard anything about a war?
No.
So, people are very busy, don't hear much about these things. Do the kids talk about it at school?
No.
Wow. So, I think this kind of talk goes on a lot of those alternative lifestyle people. Doesn't it? New Age people?
I think there's been so much of it over... We grew up living in that nuclear threat that, you know, so it's nothing new for our generation.
We used to have... I remember when we... Air raid drills. You had to go and... you'd have to practice and go underneath a desk at the school.
They still turn the siren on there.
But did you have to do that?
Yeah.
We had to do that. You'd have to go and put your head underneath the desk. You know, put your hands over your head and go underneath the desk.
During the Cuban Missile Crisis, everyone has felt a little, yeah. Is this it or not?
Well, Brother John, well, what do you think?
Well, I wasn't promoting it at all.
What is your opinion now?
Well, I have the same opinion that I always have, which is that we can't calculate and that Lord Chaitanya can change things like that. So even if there is supposed to be a war according to some astrological arrangement, Krishna can intervene so that the spreading of Krishna consciousness can continue. And like you said, so many projects are being developed all over the world within our movement. Why would Krishna want to put a stop to that? Doesn't seem to make any sense to us at all.
Because it's not going to be where only the karmis are going to die and the devotees are going to live. So are all the devotees now going to be killed by nuclear holocaust? That's not a very auspicious way to die.
Quick.
But not very auspicious. Not a very nice death. Not a natural death in the Dham, like Prabhupada showed. In fact, Prabhupada's death would almost be wasted, wouldn't it? The example of that type of death. If actually most of us have to face death by nuclear holocaust, then why did Prabhupada teach us how to die in the way he did? I mean, he taught us how to take a slow death, remaining steady, fixing your consciousness. Of course, he says in his teachings, you have to be prepared at any moment the death may come. But his own personal example was a bit different.